The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Very good today.
For the third week in a row, we have Barb Moody, sales manager with Prospect Mortgage. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. Great to be back.
Thanks for coming back with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we review numerous real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been assisting, advising, and guiding clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have, or if you would like to suggest a topic for the show, email it to us at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is also mobile friendly. You can do it right from your smartphone. And remember to like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And all our archive radio shows are also on jruddy.com. 3 years worth, right?
Over 3 years.
Over 3 years now. Yeah, it's three and a half.
That's right.
Oh my God. Time flies when you're having so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay, Barb, last week we devoted the whole show to credit and the do's and the don'ts and credit scores, why it's so important for so many people, especially when they're looking to buy a home. And we talked about credit, bad credit versus no credit at all. And you had some really great advice for people that don't have credit, how to establish it, buying a credit card, putting money down on a credit card, and then using it.
Right. That's the secured credit card. And it's, you can get to it very easy just by your Google browser, secured, S-E-C-U-R-E-D. And that's exactly what it is. You actually can give your money to a bank. The bank will hold your money since you don't have a credit score or possibly a poor credit score. And then you can borrow up to that amount on a credit card and pay it, and up to that amount and pay it. It really is helpful in getting people that don't have a score or bad score positive points. The one thing I forgot to mention last week, and I know you said that's archived, there was a great program on all of credit, but the one thing I forgot to mention that really helps some of, especially my younger clients, understand credit is that I've always called credit kind of a living, breathing thing, Jackie. If you feed it good stuff, you're going to get good stuff. If you feed it bad stuff, you're going to get bad stuff. So what ends up happening is people don't realize if you feed it nothing, you will get nothing. Your score will not change. So even when we're trying to help people, increase their credit score, if they have collections or charge-offs or judgments, people will think, I'll go in and I'll pay those off and I'm going to end up with a 740 credit score. It's not true. Unfortunately, you've got to take motions and movements to make the credit score better. You have to feed it that good stuff, which is why we suggest often their secured credit cards.
What about cosigners? Especially like young people these days that are having a hard time establishing credit. Parents come in and...
That's how I got my credit established. My dad co-signed a loan with me. Did your mom co-sign a loan with you?
Yep, she sure did.
And my dad reinforced to me, he says, you will pay this on time. And if you take out a loan and you have no intentions of paying it back, that's stealing. And you will not do that. You will pay this loan back. And if I didn't, he was going to break my neck. So I paid the loan.
It's cosigners are great. A lot of times I even get questions with cosigners on mortgages. A lot of the parents will call and say, well, I'll co-sign for him, but I don't want it to go on my credit report. Co-signers are on the debt just as the signer is. It's the same exact thing. They get the same amount of points. They're on there. It's on their credit report. It's under their Social Security number. It's going to appear on their credit report till that loan's paid off. And that's why dad threatened to kill you, because if you didn't make that payment, dad would end up with bad credit score. So the co-signers need to understand that they are actually signing up to pay that debt if the debt is not paid by the original signer. So when someone is getting ready to co-sign a loan for others, please be careful and make sure it's someone that you can trust to make the payment and know that the payment's going to be paid on time.
Well, I've often over the years come across that where the people that were buying the house thought mom and dad or grandma or aunt and uncle were going to help them, and oh, no problem, I have a cosigner. And I think the reality of what you just said is that it goes on their credit report until that last payment is made. I think when they go in to cosign and they realize what's on the line, a lot of people then aren't available to co-sign.
Well, that's, we always, when we do a pre-approval for a client and they do mention that, because sometimes we'll say, you know, whether it be a little bit of a credit glitch and they want, now in today's world, I should correct that, Jackie, now in today's world, the actual person on the mortgage has to have a 640 or above to even be on the mortgage. So the only time we're really using co-signers right now are as if they are trying to buy a home that might be a little out of their range. Maybe they have, you know, a waitress with tips would be a great example. So a lot of their money, they feel they can make the payment, but the payment might not show in the banking world as being very affordable. Self-employed borrowers a lot of times will often not, you know, have a very strong income in comparison to what their gross accounts receivables are. So there's a lot of different reasons where people might not show as much money or feel they can make a better payment. And that would be the only other thing that we could advise is, you know, do you have a cosigner that might be able to help you? But before we'll give them a pre-approval, we're obviously going to look at that cosigner as well to make sure they're going to be the addition to the file that we need.
You made me think of another thing. What about large, unexplainable cash deposits and accounts?
Jackie, that word. It just gives me heart palpitations. Cash is bad in the mortgage world. I'm sorry, but cash is definitely bad. For any buyer that's getting ready to buy a home, we season accounts for 60 days. We look into your bank statement. And
what does what does season mean?
It's 60 days worth of bank statements. So we're going to go back and we're going to ask you to give us, that's what they considered seasoned funds, is that you've physically, Pat, had the money for 60 days in an account and it's not in any of your deposits. If you have any other deposits in your account that is not a work-related or an employment check deposit that clearly states it's from your employer, or you could see that it's coming from the paychecks that we're also looking at, you do have to show us where that money's coming from.
So if mom and dad gave a gift, is that allowable?
It is allowable. Certain programs will allow 100%, which is our FHA or government programs. The conventional programs, we require that the borrower have their own 5%, and then mom and dad can gift the rest. So there is allowable to the gift, but they've gotten even a lot more specific on that now, where mom and dad are going to have to show that they had the money available to give the gift. So they can't just give the money or sign a letter. They actually have to show that that money was in their account, which means it was seasoned in their money. They've had it in their account for 30 days.
Last week, you gave great advice that people should be checking their credit by going on the internet, getting a free credit report, maybe once a year, just making sure that everything on there is supposed to be on there, maybe catching something that's not supposed to be on there, and keep monitoring that so that things don't come up when it's too late, like after they found the house that they want to get. That would delay matters. Now, is there a difference between that number on that credit report, that free credit report, than the one that the banks pull?
There absolutely is, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I forgot to cover that last week. It's very heartbreaking for someone to come in for a pre-approval and think they have a particular credit score because they've paid online to receive that credit score. I don't know what that costs right now, but I believe it's $20, $30. You pay, you get the credit score. That credit score is never what I end up having. And I've had people bring in their credit reports. I've had them show me that score. My score only once in 18 years was higher. Most of the time, the score that I am pulling is lower.
Of course.
I've asked for people, many people asked for the explanation of that. I'm not privy to that answer. I just know that I have, out of experience, I have actually seen that happen time and time again. A lot of times it's lower. So it's very concerning to me because people will pull their credit, which I highly advise them to do. You can monitor it there. You can look at it. You can fix it. You can, you know, make sure there's no mistakes. You can make sure there's no identity theft. You just need to know what it is, because that's really your big people report card. That's what, you know, we're all looking at when you come in. So we really advise you to do that, but please do not take that score as going to be the score that the bank sees when they're looking at your file, when they're figuring out your program, or when they're actually quoting you an interest rate.
So realize that that number can change, will change, most likely.
Most likely.
Okay. Now, what about people that change jobs or maybe not change the company they work for, but the type of position they hold? Does that affect whether they get a mortgage?
You know, it's got to be logical, is what we always say in the business. If you have someone that's a, you know, engineer and just decided they want to become a baker, you know, we're going to want to see a two-year history that they're able to hold down that position. If you have someone that was a baker at my company and wants to be a baker at your company that has a two-year history, the bankers are all looking for that two-year history of employment. If it makes sense that the position is similar, then that is going to be okay to the bank. It's if the position is going to vastly change, like a totally different new career, that could be very difficult. We also will look at schooling for a certain position. So in other words, if you just got out of school, if you just got out of college, I should say college to make it correct. If you got out of college and you're going to be a manager and you have a management degree and you're going to be a bank manager, I can use that 4 years as part of your history because you followed your career path. A lot of underwriters won't use that 4 years as a history, almost all that I know of, if you're going to change that career path when you get out of school. If you don't end up doing what you went to school for, then when you start that new career path, we would need the two-year history.
So employment stability is huge. And we just had a deal fall through because a person, this was like a week away from closing, forgot to mention that he did get a change. He stayed where he was. He was employed by the same company, but he went from a salaried position to a commission.
Yes.
And that just, he couldn't qualify. I mean, right before closing, it fell through.
Commission and bonus employees and self-employment. Another one I've had a big issue where a client was self-employed as a contractor for a very reputable company in our area and then decided to become a 1099 or self-employed 1099 instead of a W-2 is really what tells the bank that they're considered self-employed. If you change and go either way, then that breaks that two-year history. We either need you to be two-year history as a W-2 wage earner or a two-year history as self-employed, which then we can average the income. But with self-employment, bonuses, or commissions, they can change greatly.
Fluctuate greatly from year to year, month to month, week to week.
Month to month, especially. And we're looking for a monthly mortgage payment to be made on time. So right. If you're going to make $200 one month and $2,000 another month, the only way the bank can figure out what we're using for your monthly income is to take a two-year history and average it.
Okay. How does someone get in touch with you, Barb?
We are in Clark Summit, Prospect Mortgage, and it's 570-587-3385. I also use my cell phone a lot, which is 570-499-1575. And we also have a great website that has a lot of information on it, Jackie, and we have a wonderful Facebook page under www.yourpamortgageteam.com, Y-O-U-R, or the Facebook page is just yourpamortgageteam.com.
Thank you, Barb. Pat, before break?
Yes, we have a 5-bedroom, 1.5-bath home located at 212 Dolph Street in Jessup for $99,000. This property is located on a corner lot, and it has many possibilities. It has 3,000 square feet of space and low taxes of only $1,650 a year. The home has hardwood floors, an antique bar with tin ceilings. It has a newer gas boiler, newer hot water heater, and a newer electrical service. There is also a newer roof. So if you're looking in Jessup for a 5-bedroom, 1.5-bath home with low taxes, give us a call about 212 Dolph Street for only $99,000. And that is listed by John Sokolowski of our office.
Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We will be back after a very brief break. The real estate market is extremely active and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
A lot of good information, excellent. Learning lots of stuff.
Yes, excellent information. With us for the third week in a row is Barb Moody, sales manager with Prospect Mortgage. Good morning,
Jackie.
Again.
Good morning.
We covered a lot on credit, and I think the whole show last week was devoted solely to credit. The first half of today's show is credit. I think we covered everything we need to cover regarding credit, didn't we?
I think we did.
All right. I want to talk to you about rate locks, and what is a rate lock, and why should people who are looking to purchase a home think about rate locks, especially when the seller needs 150 days to get out of the home?
Well, rate locks, the way that banks work it is when we're taking an application, a borrower has a choice. They can either float a rate or they can lock a rate. If you float a rate, you're what we call playing the market. The rate changes the next day. All lenders have the right to change the rate instantaneous. It's not even day to day anymore. If the market changes one way or the other, we are allowed to change our rate. We get an alert, the rate's changed. That's it. So when we're going to lock a potential buyer's loan, it's going to be the rate that we have at that time. If they lock a rate, that rate should then be locked by their banker. They should sign a form that says that the rate is locked. They should agree to the rate that they've locked, and the rate should no longer be floating, which means it doesn't matter if the rates go down a quarter or if the rates go up a half, they're locked. Some lenders do have a float down option if the rates go down, but what the buyers really should be thinking about up front is, Barb gave me a payment. My payment is X amount of dollars. It has a 4.25% interest rate. That's what my payment's going to be for the next 30 years. If that rate is locked, that is cracked. If they don't lock that rate, if they choose to float the rate, which is their option, that payment can change because the rate can change at any time depending on what the market does. So the banks are actually pulling their rates from the market, from what the market activity is, which makes it very changing unless you actually lock or decide to sign that paper.
Well, when it's locked, don't they have a certain amount of time?
Yes. When a rate is locked, banks can lock a rate. They normally have 30 days, 45 days, and 60 days. So, and actually the shorter rate locks normally are a little bit better to the buyer because the shorter rate locks is less risk of what the rates could change or go up between then and the time where we pull the money. So technically 30 days is a little bit better of a rate. 45 days might be a little bit higher. And I'm talking tiny basis points. It's not even really in your 4.25 versus 4.375, not even an eighth in a change. And then 60-day rates. So we look at all of them with our client. Now I've been in it a long time, so my first thing is to look at a realtor's contract and verify that my rate is going to be past the contract date, because that would be a flag for us.
You do.
Yes.
I could say that you definitely look at that, but I could tell you that a lot of lenders don't pay attention to the dates that are in the contract.
Well, they want to make sure, and it's good that you're bringing awareness like this to the buyers, because the buyers need to understand that as well. If a lender says, well, I'm going to rate lock you, but it's 45 days, and they realize they have a 60-day contract, they need to make sure they're locked through the contract, because they can't guarantee the seller can move up to the 45 days. Now, if you lock a rate and say you lock it on 45 days and you do have to go out 60 days, what ends up happening when we get ready to at that 45-day expiration date, because sometimes, you know how it goes, Jackie, sometimes there's a delay. Seller needs more time to get out. Buyer needs more time to put money in the bank, whatever it might be, and we do an extension. If our rate lock doesn't cover that extension to the sales contract, then we have to go back to our buyers and we can give them choices. The rate can return back to float if there's no closing date that's set in stone yet, or they can pay money to extend the rate. But there's actual fees, and every bank is different on what they're going to charge to keep the rate exactly the same and extend that interest rate.
Right. And I think it's just really awareness going into when you're purchasing a home, when a buyer is purchasing a home, realizing the seller may need some extra time to get out, but that will delay the rate lock.
The rate lock. Now, we try to go by the contract because it's always within the conversations, it's always negotiable. So a lot of times if a realtor calls and we've rate locked out through the end of our contract and the seller needs more time, sometimes we have to go back and say, well, is the seller willing to pay for the rate extension? It's a negotiating factor, so that's going to really be up to the realtors to discuss that with the seller. But what happens is the rate lock is on the buyer's side, so we have to be very aware as a team of that rate lock because we need to make sure that we're trying to do the best by the buyer and that that rate's not going to change.
Right. Well, there's things that do come up during the course of a sale. Inspections, delays with the inspection, sometimes delays the seller's feeling that they're on a firm foundation to move forward. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty during the course of a sale. So when we're bringing a contract together at the front end, there are some times that make it impossible to close that file on the settlement date, but especially if the seller needs more time. But what's happening is that the buyer is agreeing to something that they're not realizing can really gravely impact the loan.
It could. The rates, thankfully, have been very steady recently, so it hasn't made a huge difference. Where it could make a difference for a buyer is if they had a 60-day rate lock and the rates went up, and we've seen it in the past, the rates went up 0.5% or a full percent. Then at the end of that 60 days, they would have to actually pay for that to be extended to keep that same payment if the rates went up. And on some cases, we'd have to insist on it because it changes their payment if it makes their ratio, their debt to income, what we're looking at is their final payment to the bank change where they would no longer qualify. They have to extend.
Right. Now, if the rates go down, do they get advantage of the interest rate?
Well, all the banks look at that differently. We do have a float down option, but you have to pay a fee for the float down option. Some banks don't have a float down option. And, you know, if you take the money off the market, the money's off the market. That's how they look at it. If the rate's not going to go up, I'm not going to give you the higher rate. But if the rate goes down, I can't give you the lower rate because I've already secured the funds.
So people, I would think, would have a problem with that.
Right. Right. I mean, it does happen. Thankfully, like I said, the rates have been secure enough. People, a lot of times, the banks have discussed many times, to be honest, about charging rate lock fees so that, you know, people can't move away if we change, because we are locking in a rate in good faith for someone up front to make sure that their payment's fixed and everything's fixed for them for when they go to the closing.
Is the longest rate lock that you have a 60-day rate lock?
I actually see the longer the rate lock goes out, Jackie, the more the bank has to, either the borrower has to pay points to get there or a fee to get there, or if you extend, there's a fee. So you kind of have to look at every situation. We actually have 180-day rate lock for people building new homes that maybe the builder is going to actually build the home and then they're going to buy the end loan from the builder. So we've created that 180-day rate lock for them.
But it's not without something.
It's not. They're either going to pay the fee up front, which is going to be about 0.5% to 1%, depending on the credit score and the borrower and the whole situation. Or it's going to be a little bit of a higher rate than what they would lock at for 60 days. So if you knew as a buyer coming in to see me saying, this is going to close 180 days from now, but I'm hearing all kinds of rumor that rates are going to go up in February, we're not closing until July, I just want to pay the 1 point and let's lock at 180 days, you have that option.
Okay. All right. Do you have any predictions for 2014?
You know, it's really tough because don't have a glass ball. Don't know what exactly is going to happen. Rates are at phenomenal all-time lows. We have been, you know, we were in the threes, then we're in the fours. Anytime you're below six, they consider that all-time lows. You're below the record averages. It's a great time to buy because of that, because what people don't realize, we're doing payments based on these rates. So the payments are going to be the lowest that we can get for clients. So it's still a fantastic time to buy. I have to say, Jackie, that you know, you read a little bit of things in the short term that say they're going to go up a little, go down a little. They're probably talking about 0.25% one way or the other. Long term, they have to go up. what goes down must go up. So we've been, you know, all-time lows for a very long time. We've been under six a very long time, thankfully. It's been great. It's really helped our housing market. But I think, you know, within the next few years, I'm not talking next month, but the next few years, they are going to start to, of course,
increase.
Climb upward.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. What about internet lending? What are your thoughts about?
Well, you know, rates and internet lending, where I warn a lot of my realtors why I'm out on the road with internet lending is a couple things. On the credit side, I've warned a lot of realtors with internet lending because the internet lenders can pull credit more than once, which you're going to have a lot of inquiries, a lot of credit pulls, which could affect a borrower's credit score negatively. Rates, I don't feel on an internet lending, I don't feel personally that they are lifetime. I think people post rates, but again, I can get a note from my company right now and say the rates have just gone up and I need to know the rates have just gone up. If I posted something online yesterday and the rates went up, I'm not going to have that information for you reposted till the next time that posting may be. So sometimes I'll have clients call in and say, I saw online the rate is. First of all, a lot of times online, points or fees aren't included. And points and fees are directly related to interest rates. So if you want to pay a point, you normally can go down a quarter in your interest rates. So if they're not quoting that online, that rate might sound really, really good, but it might not actually be the right rate until you call. Because again, your credit score is going to guide your rate. So they're throwing out a rate out there for a 740 credit score buyer, 20% down, a loan amount of 240 or above. So they're taking all of the best qualifiers of a buyer and they're putting out an interest rate. And that's not necessarily, you know, if I went in for a mortgage or you went in for a mortgage, I might not hit all of those qualifiers, which means now they've gotten you to call, they've gotten their phone to ring, but they're going to give you something different when you actually call in on the phone. So I just warn everybody about that there's a lot more to rates, you know, that just meets the eye than just an easy, quick, lowest rate fix, you know, on your Google browser. And I also, with internet lenders, you know, I warn everybody, of course, I love Prospect Mortgage. There's a lot of great competitors out there. I mean, local lending is huge. I feel that the local people have a reputation to keep. I know that I stress every day over a deal to make sure it's closed on time, that the rate lock is fine, that everything is watched, because I don't not only want to let my buyer down, I don't want to let my realtor partners down, I don't want to let the community down, because I don't want people to hear that I haven't done a good job at what I do. So I think that, you know, if you go to an internet lender and you're not using someone local and reputable, you're really not doing yourself justice, because you're not working with a person that cares about you and the people involved in the transaction.
Yeah, you have to see them out at dinner, at the grocery store, at church, wherever, you know, you go. So, right, you want to do a good job. I heard you can close a loan in 20 days.
I can.
That's amazing.
I can.
Yes, that's wonderful. And so you're getting people in the houses and you're helping the sellers, the buyers, the realtors, yourself, everybody out there. You do a wonderful job. Just before we close, can I have your phone number, please?
Sure. It's Prospect Mortgage, Clark Summit. We're at 570-587-3385. And my cell phone is 570-499-1575. And if I can help anybody answer any questions over the last 3 weeks, I'd love to do that.
Thank you, Barb, for an excellent 3 weeks in a row. Pat?
Yes. This information is from the National Association of Realtors about the home search process. For 42% of buyers, the first step in the home buying process was looking online for properties. It should be getting pre-qualified. You agree, Bob?
Absolutely.
Get pre-qualified. The use of the internet in the home search process has risen to 92% are using the internet. 92%. That even includes my 86-year-old father. The typical home buyer searched for 12 weeks and viewed 12 homes. And it says for more than half of buyers, finding the right home was the most difficult step in the buying process. And approximately 9 out of 10 recent buyers were at least somewhat satisfied with the home buying process. Somewhat satisfied.
Very good. Thank you, Pat. That's interesting info. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.